الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. First we'll read and translate one of the poems of our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum. And as we repeatedly mention, this is not only poetry, but it is not only a bayan, but how many bayans are in there. And when it is done in poetic form, it has great effect and influence on a person. So we should listen to it more than what we are listening to it from a poetry point of view, from a bayan point of view. Naye jaam o meena ata ho rahe hai. This poem of Hazrat is that I'm continuously being given new goblets of wine of the love of Allah Ta'ala. And this is not only particular in this field of tasawwuf or any, but it is what any field, whatever a person exerts himself in, that field, that subject opens more and more upon a person. A person, whichever field he is in, a carpenter, works with his wood, etc., all the time, and new ideas come to him all the time. And the more you are dedicated, the more. If you're a teacher, those things open. Businessman, new ideas of business open upon a person. So fortunate are those people who are in the field of the love of Allah, islah of one's nafs, one's own nafs, other people's, then Allah opens this. This is a natural system. How sincere and dedicated a person is and endeavors, Allah opens more and more upon that person. So Hazrat says that in this field, new goblets of wine, different, Allah is blessing me with Allah's ma'rifat, closeness of Allah Ta'ala, etc. Jo hardam khuda par fida ho rahe hai. That person who is every moment giving his life for Allah, sacrificing for Allah Ta'ala, and he wants to go to Allah and gain the recognition and the love of Allah Ta'ala, wo fani bhuto se juda ho rahe hai. That person automatically then, Allah separates him from these temporary idols of this world. That is, what we call, perhaps we'll say them, the beauties of this world, the painted dollies of the street, the filthy, naked, dirty woman of the street. Automatically his heart will get disinclined. There will be no attraction for him. The more you go into the field of Allah, the more you get disinclined to all types of sin. And in fact, all part of righteousness, Allah opens that. And the ways of sin, they automatically close on a person. It's not then, you don't have to make a sacrifice to give up sin. You don't have to give up sin. Sins will leave you. Like in the season of autumn, when the leaves fall from the trees, you don't have to stake a stick and knock on the trees and let the leaves fall down. Your back gets broken picking up the leaves. You just finish today, tomorrow again so many, by the afternoon so many leaves. Like this, once a person goes closer to Allah, sins start leaving him. He doesn't have to leave sin. Sins leave him. And he will be freed of sins. وہ خمر کوہن تو قوی تر ہے لیکن. It is a famous thing that the older the wine, the more delicious it is, the more enjoyable it is. So that old wine, that old things of yours, they are enjoyable, they are beneficial. نئے جام و مینا عطا ہو رہے ہیں. But Allah is giving you new types of wine of the love of Allah all the time. A person who exerts himself in this field, Allah will open that way for him. And he will see new enjoyments come. And why wouldn't this be so? When in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, one of the qualities of Allah is, وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ. Every moment, every Allah is in a different splendor, in a different great beauty. So when Allah Ta'ala is like that, and a person who has connected himself with Allah, Allah makes his condition also. All the time he's in a, as you are even just sitting, you are just even eating, and now Allah will open this on you, that this, just this vegetable salad, the peppers, who and who grew them, where they grew, in which farm. And then the lettuce, in which different farm, how many people worked. then the tomatoes, then the onions, then the olives, then the seasoning, the vinegar, the salt, all these things from the whole. Ya Allah, you brought it for me in one plate from around the world. So these things all the time, different things will be opening on you, and you'll be making shukr to Allah. Again, you'll look at a different angle. Ya Allah, all these utensils, the plate in which it is put, the spoon, who made this plate, which country it was made, who and who transported it and brought it till here, the spoon, the fork, whatever is in there, all these things. Then again you look at it, my wife prepared it all, that she cut it all and presented it so beautifully to me. And how much pride women take in order when they present the salads, etc. All this, Ya Allah, it is from, and you did it especially for me, that you made me so special in your eyes. Like this, a person will turn more, and all the time. There isn't any time that he won't be thinking of Allah. In fact, in the morning tafsir that we read, Bismillah, of the signs that how Allah will bring people back to life. Maulana Idris Sahib Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, just see from where and where Buzurgs take out examples. He says, when you get a sore on your body, a pimple, a sore, and sometimes then pus comes out, then sometimes the meat also comes out, then slowly it again heals and your skin becomes normal again. From there they say, like life after death, like you'll go into the qabr, you'll be completely finished. So how will Allah bring you? Allah shows you, even when you get sores on your body, is a lesson for you to learn that how Allah will bring the dead back to life again. That the piece of skin becomes like dead. Even you peel it off, you cut it off, and it's dead. But then Allah brings life again. So like that, Allah will bring everyone back to life on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah opens this on a person in everything. His eyes go towards this. Other people's eyes will go to, in the same thing, they will take out something else, but your eyes will go closer to Allah Ta'ala. Kabhi kalb dekar, kabhi jaan dekar. But in this path, sometimes you have to give your heart also, your hearty desires. Your eyes fell on that woman, really she's a beauty, and I really want to look, but now you'll have to sacrifice your desires. Sometimes your life, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, you'll feel, if I don't look at this woman here, or that music there, if I don't listen to it, or my life, I'll lose my life. Like some people say, you went to the Khanqah, you lost out. You didn't do other things, you lost out. So yeah, I'll lose out if I don't look at this woman. No, you gave your life sometimes, your life. Sometimes you gave your heart for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Rahe ishq mein ba wafa ho rahe hai. And what is this? When you are giving, sacrificing this, in this path of suluk, in the path of reaching Allah Ta'ala, you are becoming, you are those who are faithful, who are loyal. You don't now just because your nafs and you broke Allah's law. As you are going, and Allah will put the test also. The more you want to go towards Allah, the more this test will come. More temptations will come. But when you sacrifice, you don't look, you please Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala brings you closer to Him. And now you are becoming loyal to Allah Ta'ala. Any person in this world loves the quality of loyalty. A person who is unfaithful, ask the wife if the husband is unfaithful. Ask the husband if the wife is unfaithful. But when you know my partner is loyal, is faithful, your children, you know that they are on my side. They are not on the side of the in-laws. They are on my side. How happy you feel. Everyone. So this quality of loyalty, as you prove it, there is nobody who can appreciate like Allah. No husband can appreciate like Allah. No wife can appreciate. Nobody. And perhaps you are faithful to your wife, but she doesn't know. Hey, she's at home, but there were temptations of guna, and you didn't get involved. She doesn't know, but Allah knows everything. And if you are loyal to Allah, and Allah will, yeah, perhaps you'll even express you some, I appreciate you were loyal, I appreciate you did this, but sometimes you don't even say that. But Allah will never let a thing go past without His appreciation. Allah will reward on that. Allah will give a person great returns on that. Khushi apni unki khushi par luta kar. You have your desires. No, admit it. You have your wishes. You have your desires. The temptation is there to look at that woman, whatever other guna it is. But you sacrificed your pleasure for Allah's pleasure. That Allah doesn't want me to look. And I must please Allah. I mustn't please my nafs. Your nafs didn't create you. Your nafs is not giving you your rosy. Your nafs isn't giving you your eyesight, your brains. Allah gave you. So how can you please somebody who did nothing for you? Please him who does everything for you all the time. So a person who pleases Allah Ta'ala, hum ab ahle sidq wa safa ho rahe hai. When that is the case, now you are amongst those who are called the truthful ones. Those whose hearts are clean towards Allah Ta'ala. Any person, if a person was guilty of some guna, he was disloyal to his wife. And she doesn't know. She prepared the best meal. She dressed up for you. Everything. But you feel guilty all the time. They just say, how much she's doing for me. And I'm so terrible. So with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a person who is loyal to Allah, now see the enjoyment in namaz. If we were disloyal to Allah while coming for namaz also, and then here we come, you'll never get that enjoyment in your namaz. Even you come, you spend your month in i'tikaf. But you came and you were disloyal to Allah Ta'ala. But if you were true and you made a sincere tawbah and you were clean, everything, your zikr you enjoy, your tilawat you enjoy, and Allah will put that enjoyment in you. And when we are disobedient to Allah, we are disloyal to Him, Allah will snatch out that enjoyment. Then we will do it taste without any taste. It will be tasteless. So the more a person is loyal to Allah, the more he becomes those who Allah says, these are my truthful servants. Kabhi pee rahe hai laho arzu ka. Sometimes we are drinking the blood of our desires. That is, and the desire is from the heart. And the heart is the king of the body. The heart controls everything. Now that desire of yours, you did not fulfill it. It is as though you cut your heart. And the blood is now splashing from your heart. And the heart is a muscle that is filled with blood all the time. All the time blood is coming in, going out. Blood is full of, heart is full of blood. So your desires, when you break them, it is like you took a dagger, a sword, a knife, and you cut your heart, and you are drinking that blood of your desires. You didn't fulfill your desires, you broke your heart, and that blood of your desires you are drinking. Mitakar khudi ba khuda ho rahe hai. And just see this beautiful poem as far as Urdu language is also is concerned. When we are annihilating, we are destroying our khudi, our own desires, our own self, our ego. Sometimes of pride, not only the guna of woman, but pride. People must praise me. And this also how shaitan works. For example, a person sat for i'tikaf. Now each day he goes and visits some family people, friends, or he phones somebody. But why? Because he knows those people appreciate and they're going to praise you. Oh, you said 30 days. You wanted to hear that sentence. And just to make yourself happy. So that's why you went and visit them. That's why, and those people who you know they will give you a lathering, you don't even phone them. You don't even go to them. So it is your nafs you want to make happy all the time. Whatever, you went 40 days jamaat for example. And you know those who will appreciate, you go and phone them. You tell them, mashallah, I just came back 40 days. Oh, mashallah, you went jamaat. Very good. But somebody who is against jamaat work, you won't phone him. Because then your nafs will have to suffer the consequences. So how nafs plays with a person. So this is khudi, that your own, your desires. So when you are destroying your desires, then ba khuda. When you destroy khudi, then you become ba khuda. Then you become Allah wala. Now you become the friends of Allah. When you are not doing things for your desire, for your desires, on each day you are visiting people, friends, everywhere, and all you want is some praises. Whatever you did in Ramzan or something, that the people must praise you. But when you destroy your desires, you trample upon your nafs, your desires, this is when you become Allah's banda. Ba khuda ho rahe hai. Tujhe ho mubarak ye ashke nadamat. And in this, there is no choice. Nafs is such a dushman, enemy, that all the time you cry to Allah. I don't know where nafs is hitting me. When he hits me, how he hits me, and I don't know how you are crying to Allah. So these tears of sorrow, that I haven't been able to fulfill the rights of Allah. No, nothing like pride that my Ramzan I spend in i'tikaf, I kept my rozas, not one taraweeh, not one takbir ula, I must know, nothing. But you are crying to Allah, that is mubarak, blessed to you. Those tears of sorrow and regret that I couldn't do what I was supposed to do. Nayyabi ulfat ki kiwa ho rahe hai. That is the time when Allah is opening new chapters of love upon that person. That person who after trying his best to make Allah's ibadat, please Allah, and he admits I couldn't. Oh Allah, I've wronged myself. I didn't do what I... Allah loves that person, and Allah opens new doors of love for upon that person. And those who get pride in them, whatever they hate also, Allah Ta'ala takes away. So we shouldn't have pride in any way. Whatever we are doing, never holier than thou attitude. Never I'm better than you, no matter how pious you can be. Your outward form also, topi, beard, kurta, everything. The other person never look down upon any person. We don't know whose position by Allah is what. And even other qualities, our amal, I'm 5 times namazi, I keep all my rozas, I made solat tilawat, but don't look down upon it. Even qualities, Allah gave you humbleness, Allah gave you sincerity, but don't look down. Don't find fault, these people are not sincere. They got too much pride in them. That is a sign to say that I'm sincere. I got lot of humbleness in me. So these are very dangerous things. So when a person, that humbleness is, it's genuinely in a person, Allah opens new doors of love towards that person. Chapters and chapters open upon him. Ye shaan karam hai ke nalaiq par. And this is Allah Ta'ala. In then also, it is the shaan karam. Karam, the kindness, the compassion, the mercy of Allah, that we who are not fit for anything, nalaiq we are. We are not fit, we are useless totally, we are evil, we are base, but Allah Ta'ala showers His mercy upon them. Karam unki har dam ata ho rahe hai. Every moment Allah is blessing with new things. So this is the honor of a person, that as he humbles, Allah makes him more closer, makes him more happier in his heart, and he comes closer to Allah Ta'ala. Muhabbat ki akhtar karamat to dekho. Hazrat says, see the miracle of love. What is Hazrat mentioning here? The miracle of love. Ke sultan hokar gada ho rahe hai. That though you're a king, but you are like a mendicant, like an ordinary person, like a slave you are. And reference here is to Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah ali, who was a king. He gave up his kingdom in the love of Allah, and he lived just like an ordinary slave all the time. That is it. For a person who is a slave, to live like a slave, that's all he has to, he's got no choice. But for a king to live like a slave. So when a person is got, even in dunya point of view, you've got riches, you've got wealth, you've got position, you've got connection, but you live like a humble person. You go to any gathering, you don't expect at all VIP treatment. You just sit like an ordinary person there. At all times, in the gatherings, in the meal times, everywhere, you just act like that. And as far as religious point also, you're a pious person. You're a great buzurg, you're a great alim, but you don't expect any VIP. That I'm just an ordinary person. I just come here as an ordinary. There is different if people show you and give, but you mustn't have that desire in you. So those who in themselves, they may, and when a person has this desire that the people must respect me, I must get VIP treatment, and if there's little bit not according to that, then see how offended he feels, how bad he feels about it, and how much fault he finds that these people don't respect buzurgs, they don't respect big people, etc. Whether it's your age, whether it's your knowledge, anything, don't expect anything. Be humble. May Allah bless us with these qualities. If just so much also comes into our lives, we have achieved a great amount. What Hazrat has mentioned in here, may this realities come into our lives, inshallah. In this kitab, we are reading of the great wisdoms which are in all the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and generally in all the matters of our deen. Here also, we have many times mentioned, we are not doing this kitab in order to know the wisdoms, the benefits. The actual reason we follow sunnat is purely because it is sunnat. We must establish, find out really is this a sunnah. When it is, whether we understand the wisdom or not, or even if science proves itself against that sunnah, we will discard that. We will follow sunnah because it is the practice of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the love of that. This year will help us to explain to other people, to give us a little bit more satisfaction, conviction. But basically, we should practice sunnahs only for one reason, and that it is the practice of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bartan-e Nabawi or Jadid science. The utensils of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what modern science has got to say about the different types of utensils. Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam ke paas ek lakri ka piyala tha. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a wooden bowl also amongst his utensils, and very few hours, how much is in the kitchen, all the units, how much they are. Then how many are still packed in the cupboards? And how many is on our list that we're still going to buy? That we saw last week, and I must buy this set and I must buy that. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam's utensils were just a few. When we were doing the units at home, So I told the car, so many units? He says, don't worry. The woman will find things to fill it up. All of those all those units will all get full. You'll run short, in fact. So actually, we should have limited. It should be to our basic things. And we saw people's lives in India. Things are changing there also. But just a few basic utensils. And all the work comes out from that utensils. As we commonly say, that before, 10 people should eat from one utensil. One big thali, 10 people sit around, they used to eat. But now, one person needs 10 utensils. There is the soup bowl, then there is the big plate, then there is a small plate, then there is a side plate, then there is a spoon, then there is a fork, then more than 10 utensils one person needs. This should be also, we should try and come on sunnat in this also. And also, we should try, especially when we have some occasion, when it is a dini occasion, jamaat comes, or buzurgs come, then try and bring simplicity. When Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, came to Stanger, he wrote in his letters to Maulana Yusuf Tutla, I know South Africa, I've heard all the dastarkhan, how it is. But he says, at least make it less for us. Bring it down to simplicity. Reasonable, not even if you can't do the actual simplicity, but something that resembles simplicity at least. But who will listen? The woman won't listen. Everyone wants to make their soup. Everyone wants to make their type of dessert, their savouries. And before you know what, the dastarkhan is overflowing. And at least think at that time, if we can't do more, of thousands of people who haven't seen a samosa in their life, who haven't seen a pie in their life, who haven't seen a khajur in their life, poor people. And there are people in Ethiopia now, in Somalia. What hunger these people are going through. So at least think and make dua. Ya Allah, you are feeding me so much. All the hungry in the world, you feed them also. You have given me, when you look at your cupboard, how much of clothes, kurtas, you don't know which kurta to choose, which pair of socks to choose, which thing to wear, so much Allah has given you. At least make the dua, those who haven't got anything to wear. Ya Allah, give them something also. There are so many people in difficulty. So if we am practically, try and do, but at least have that thought. Bishar Hafi Rahmatullah Ali, it was a cold winter's night. He was in his room and he didn't wear his warm clothes. And of course there weren't air conditioners and heaters and all that. The room was cold. Somebody told him, Hazrat, this night so cold, there is not the time to take off your clothes and stay like this. He says, I can't sympathize with the poor, at least let me resemble them. And let me get the feeling what the poor are going through. So at least little bit make dua, think of them at least. And how much we can do, we should try and do also. In another riwayat, Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam ke paas ek shishe ka piyala bhi tha. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has a glass utensil also. A wooden utensil also, glass utensil. In another riwayat, Huzur Akdas sallallahu alaihi wa sallam mitti ke bartan bhi istimal farmate the. Should use earthenware also. Pots, plates, cups, bowls that are made of from the earth. What do you call them? That's from made like mud. clay pots, earthenware. We understand that was the common thing. And there is great, great benefit in all those things. Then further he says, plastic bartan. Today is a plastic world. The whole world, utensils, everything of plastic. Plastic ke bartan, fashion ke door, ki mashhoor alim, mashhoor plastic ke bartan, fashion ke door ke mashhoor alim e sughat hai. Is alam e sughat hai. Is qisam ke bartanon mein khane peene ki ashya rakhna aur khana peena sakht muzir hai. Today is a fashion, everything plastic. Wherever you think of, everything has become plastic. For whatever, it is cheap also, then the weight also of it is less, doesn't break so easily also, like glass utensils. So today everything, and from not only plastic, but now everything styrofoam. Even dawats, good dawats also in styrofoam, they just eat in that styrofoam plates, put it into a dustbin bag, and throw it away, no worry of washing anything. This has become the fashion and the trend today everywhere. So eating, he says, is qisam ki bartanon mein khane peene ki ashya rakhna, to keep foodstuffs in such things, aur unme khana peena sakht muzir hai. It is very harmful, and there is scientific research that eating in these things is extremely harmful. Khane peene ke liye sabse behtar aur mehfooz mitti, chini aur shishe ke bartan hai. The most safest things, utensils to eat in are those that are made of sand, which are made of glass, sand and glass. Those are the most safest things. Ab plastic aur masnoi rishe ke bartan istemal ho rahe hain, uske kya nuksanat hai. But now generally plastic things are being used, and more than that, the styrofoam that is being used, and the great, great harm which is in there, which is explained in front. Professor of a university, what his discoveries are about this plastic, how harmful it is. So we should be very, very try as far as possible. And this plastic, for example, just see the opposite, like the opposite, what is being said and what is being achieved. That mineral water, that today that is very healthy, it's very important, you must drink the right water. This tap water has got so much, and the person who is selling this, and when he'll come and advertise by you, by your house, how he'll show you the dirt in your tap water, and that how important it is, you must drink purified water, mineral water, etc. But that same mineral water, perhaps 100% it is packed in plastic bottles. And the plastic bottles, which it has been found, especially when you keep them in a car, the heat that builds up in a car, many people in their cars, continuously there will be a bottle of water that is kept in the car. And the heat that builds up in there, then that plastic melts and it mixes with that water. And that has been found, especially for women, for breast cancer, a major. That same plastic has been found in the cause of the cancer or breast cancer of women. So that is it. So that water is pure, but the bottle, the container of it. And then again, normally all these things, especially Coca-Cola, conditioned, they sell it and they advertise it ice cold. The minute it is hot and you drink it, you'll realize then how terrible Coca-Cola is. But when you drink it cold, it is all now hidden away in that coldness. And then you enjoy that cold drink, that cold Coca-Cola. But if you have to drink it hot, you will know. Try and drink cream soda, Spalletta hot, or Fanta hot. Then you'll get the real taste what is in there. So anyway, they advertise it. But now, the cold, then you don't realize how harmful, how bad it is. But wherever they have packed it, and from there, all the trucks it was delivered on. And then it was in the warehouses. Now, when you bought it from your supermarket, then it was in the fridges, cold. You brought it home, you put it in the fridge. It's cold. Now you drink it cold. But how lot places it has gone through, where already that plastic has mixed with that water. Now, after all the harm is done, now you want to make it cold and drink it, we're just bluffing ourselves. So all, most of these things are like that. So this, all these are just money-making things, and we just fall for it. And how much money is spent on water today? Drinking water, how much your bill, just your water comes out to so. And when you have to realize, it's nothing really that clean and healthy, how it is being made out to be. It is something completely opposite. So anyway, even in our cars, if we carry water, the best is to try and use glass bottles. It is not so comfortable, so easy as plastic is, but that is the safest. And water, the best is to boil your water. And then you use your water. It's the cheapest way also, and the safest way, more safe than this. And in how many countries, in India and in America, Coca-Cola company was caught that ordinary tap water they were bottling and selling it as mineral water. And in Saudi, the people in Arafat, etc., Mina, there's people who sell water on the road. And if you look at the bottle, it's sealed. They bought is that sealing machine. And they fill ordinary water, and they just invested in one machine that seals the cap. So you look at it, it's sealed. So it's all right, it's clear. But it's ordinary water which they filled in. And perhaps even dirty water they filled in. And they just bought, they invested in that one machine. How much does that one machine cost? And they cover it up in the first half a day, what the money they make. So we shouldn't be taken for suckers for all these things, which so commonly, and yet the sad part, we regard ourselves as so clever, and we know so much, but we are taken for a ride with so many of these things. So it's very, very important that what we put into our mouth must be good, clean things. And the safest is what you boil yourself and keep it then in the right utensils. Further in this kitab, Kashkol-e-Ma'rifat, we were doing the virtues and the great benefits of La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. We have done a bit of it, and still more further. This has been referred to as a treasure. And a treasure, as we have mentioned, is something which you got, a valuable thing, but you don't know you have got it. That, like for example, the 1931 tikki. That tikki, it's very valuable, it was a rare coin. So if a person, maybe you got it, it's lying at home, but you don't know the value of it. It's worth today hundreds of thousands of rands perhaps. Lot of money. There are many other things like that also. These which are so valuable. So that is called a treasure. So La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah is a treasure. We all got it. We all know it. Small children know it. But the value of it we don't know. That is the thing, to know the value. So yeah, Hazrat further explains that. This is a case where the words of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been explained by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Otherwise, normally the hadith is explained by the muhaddithin. They explain what is the correct meaning. From there also we should understand that it is not good, in fact, that a person sits with Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, any hadith kitab, anywhere hadith compilation of hadith, and then he reads and he takes out his own meanings. Hey, like at one time it was very common, it's gone less, but still it exists. There are those people who are what is called tafsir birrai. They make their own opinions in tafsir. And what happens in there? Usually some intellectuals, 5-6 intellectuals, in every town this used to happen. And they get together and they read the ayat of the Quran. What do you think what it means? And the person who doesn't know anything about deen, he's a doctor, he's an engineer, he's an accountant, but now he's giving his opinion. It is like a Maulana who is reading something about medicine, who knows nothing about, and then he gives, I think it means this. With the stupidity of it. So this, they're giving the opinion on the words of Allah. So even in hadith, we haven't got the right to give our own opinions. So this, we should be very careful. Today you go on the internet, or you buy a kitab, or anything, and Hazrat Shaykh has done such a great favor on the ummah in Fazail al-Amal, the hadith, and he gave the explanations. And in detail he has given the explanation. Always stick to such a kitab, where the great ulama have given the interpretation, the meaning, and which is the correct meaning. Otherwise, we can quite understand with our own minds, we try and take out meanings, we'll take out wrong meanings. And that is the starting point of Salafism, where every person becomes a mufti on his own right, and every person has the right to interpret deen as he wants to, which is such a stupid folly with nobody in the world in any field. If you're not a doctor, don't go and meddle in doctor's affairs. You're not a lawyer, don't go and meddle in their affairs. Well, your field, stick to your field. And many great people went offline when they started meddling in other fields. What they were not. Many people who were doing great, great tabligh work. In that way, not tabligh jamaat work also only, but in other ways also they were great asset to the ummah. They were doing great. But when they started becoming their own muftis, and they became their own mufassir, their own tafsir, they said, that is where they lost out everything. Otherwise they had the support of the whole ummah was behind them. And they were doing great work bringing Islam, explaining it to the Christians, to the non-Muslims, everything. But then they became muftis in their own way, became big mufassirs in their own way, great jurists of Islam in their own way. So don't meddle in the field which is not your field. Stick to your own field. So this is a case where hadith has been explained by hadith. Hadhrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu se riwayat hai ke farmate hai ke main Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke khidmat mein hazir tha. Hadhrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, a great sahabi, a great jurist of Islam, he says, I came in one majlis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was sitting in a majlis, and then as it happens sometimes, mene la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah paraha. I read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah above my voice, a little louder. Like somebody sitting there, he says, Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Anything, it happens like that. You just say something, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard him read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne darya farmaya, jante ho uske kya tafsir hai? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, do you know what is the tafsir of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Yeah, Hadrat also further writes that the explanation of hadith can be called tafsir also. Generally it is accepted, tafsir is explanation of Quran, and explanation of hadith is tashrih. But here is a case where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, do you know what is the tafsir of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which are the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a hadith. Maine arz kiya, Allah Rasul zyada jante hain. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, I replied and said, Allah and His Rasul know more better. Here is another very great lesson for us. Today any matter, especially if it is about sighting the moon, this year now it was whether it will be seen or not seen, everyone giving their own opinions. Or whether it is about a talaq issue in the family, then everyone becomes a mufti. Or whether it is about halal, haram, etc., many such things, then you find everyone becoming. So this was not the case with the Sahaba. The deeni matters, leave it to the people. That Allah knows, Allah and His Rasul know better. The muftis know better. The ulama know better. But we all want to give our own opinion. So that was not the case of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. They had great, great respect. And they knew their limits very greatly. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, says, in the Quran Sharif where the ayat comes, Al-Amiruna bil-ma'aruf wa-nahuna anil munkar. Those who command the right and forbid the wrong. Immediately after that, the next part of the ayat is, Wal-hafidhuna li-hududillah. Then Maulana Abdul Ghani said, Allah knew in His knowledge, a time will come when people in doing Amar bil-ma'aruf, Nahi anil munkar, will step beyond this step. They'll go over the limit. So Allah said, stay in your limit. وَالْحَافِذُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Stay within your limits which Allah has set. Don't go beyond your limit. So in everything a person, like we also say to our children or to any workers also, you'll be too big for your boots. You're going over your steps now. You're stepping over the limit now. Where sometimes a worker starts dictating to the boss also. Children start dictating to the parents also. A child grows up, he tells the father, now from now you sit back seat, I will drive, I'll take over now. We overstep our limits. So that is very dangerous. Do khidmat, take over the reins, but maintain your limits. A person who can respect and maintain limits is always loved by people. But a person who becomes too big for his boots, and you want to put other people in your pocket, where, as we say, you trying to put me in your pocket, then this person is not liked by anyone. So to maintain our limits is very, very important. So even in all these matters, the Sahaba knew their limits, and they had great respect. Today, just little bit, somebody shows us some respect, some appreciation, and we think that we can now speak as we want to. Even if somebody, especially, Allahu Akbar, just see how beautiful Allah Ta'ala said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of the believers. So Allah, in His friendship, He will sometimes show so much love. What love Allah Ta'ala show. And it is ajeeb how Allah Ta'ala, Allah's love for His bandas also is. One buzurg who was going for namaz. So on the way, the thought came to him that my wuzu was not, I did not make it properly. So Allah put in his heart, oh, so you know too much that your wuzu, you didn't make it properly. So then he got frightened. And he sat down, now you're acting so humble in front of me. This is all Allah's love that Allah shows to a person. In this way, quite a few things Allah Ta'ala, but that is when that connection is with Allah Ta'ala. So in all cases, we must keep our limits. Don't overstep our bounds, even with Allah Ta'ala, even with our superiors, our elders. So Allah said, He is your friend. Allah didn't say, you are the friend of Allah. Allah is your friend. If you the friend, a friend does in friendship. You do lot of things, you say a lot of things also in friendship. But Allah said, he's got the right to say whatever he wants to. But you maintain your respect. Don't you also say that, like, for example, in our aspect, your ustad, your parents even, your share, he makes jokes with you, doesn't mean you also can start making jokes now. He's opening your heart to make you feel comfortable, that you don't feel, you feel at ease, you can benefit more greatly. But now you also don't start making jokes about with him. For example, he makes a remark about your clothing, about your shoes. So you don't go and make remarks about his clothing and his shoes also. Know your limits. Don't go and overstep. Once Hazrat came to our house and there was a old blanket on the bed. So Hazrat said, looks like this blanket is from the time of Maulana Rum, rahmatullah. So in that way now, if we think that we also go and can tell Hazrat something, that will be totally wrong. So know our limits. This was one great hallmark of the Sahaba. They knew their limits very, very well. And a person who stays in his limits is loved by everyone. And a person who oversteps, now you become too free. What is that saying that breeds... Familiarity breeds contempt. When you become too free now, then you mess up everything. So keep your limits. Your sheikh can tell you, he makes a joke with you. Now it doesn't mean you go and sit with him and also start jokes now. And you also start making like a friend, our friend with friend, you carry on. No, keep your limits, very important. This was a great thing which was in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So I have asked Allah Rasul ziyada jante hai. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam farmaya. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained what is the meaning. Meaning of la hawla amma asiyatillah. Nahi hai taqat gunahon se bachne ki, lekin Allah ki hifazat se illa bi ismatillah. That a person cannot save, la hawla means that a person cannot save himself from guna, but if Allah protects him. Otherwise on his own, you must make your effort. Doesn't mean you just sit and commit any guna. You say, no, if Allah saves me, then I'll get saved. No, you make your full effort, but have this yaqeen. I cannot save myself from guna, but if Allah saves me. Or, وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ. And I cannot do any good, but if Allah's help is with me. That you make your effort. You get up for Fajr on time, you come to the masjid, everything. But that is your effort. But your yaqeen must be only if Allah wishes to. Even you stepped in the masjid, you came and you made your sunnats and you're sitting in the first saf. Don't still be satisfied with yourself that today, mashallah, I'm 5-10 minutes before and I'm making my namaz with takbir-e-ula. Any moment, somebody can come and call you out. that your car, there's something, a problem with your car. And there you get involved, next you find yourself, you're reporting at the police station. Your whole Fajr Jamaat is left one side. Or your stomach something started working. Now you find yourself sitting in the toilet. From there you're hearing the Imam's Qiraat. You were so sure I'm going to be reading right behind the Imam in the first saf, but now you find yourself sitting in the toilet. So without Allah's help, you can do nothing. Seek Allah's protection also from gunas, and see, make all your effort, but put your trust only in Allah Ta'ala. Is hadith ki khususiyat ye hai. One of the special things of this hadith is ke alfaz-e-nabuwat ki tashri alfaz-e-nabuwat se hui. That the explanation of the hadith was done by the words of the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah ki alfaz bhi sarkari aur iski sharah bhi sarkari hai. That the words also are that of our king, our master. And the explanation is also given by our king and our master. Like in one few rare occasions where Allah himself gave the explanation of the ayats of the Quran. That is also Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, and then the sahaba, the ulama explained what is the meaning of the Quran. But a few cases where Allah himself, the words of Allah explained by Allah himself, what greater tafsir can there be than that? Or ma tafsir ruha se maluwa ke hadith ki sharah ko tafsir se tabir kya ja sakta hai. And that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself asked, what is the tafsir? He didn't ask what's the meaning of the ma ma'anaha or ma tashri'uha. But what is the meaning that shows that it is permissible to use the word tafsir for the explanation of hadith also. Or ma'lum hua ke baz alfaz insan ne nabuwat se aise sarkari logat ke hote the ke tamam duniya arab usko logat se hal nahi kar sakti thi. And from here also we know that Hadrat says that some words of Nabi Kareem Ali Salatu Wasalam were and are such that even the Arabs, with the help of Arabic dictionaries, they also cannot explain it. You need that person who has spoken it, and this is an accepted fact, a person who says something, what he says or what I meant by it, that is the most acceptable. Otherwise, I say something, we are 50, 80, 100 people sitting, it's possible everyone takes his own meaning. But what is actually what the speaker was said, what he meant, that is what is meant. Like a person, the question comes continuously about talaq of the wife. Then they won't ask the wife, what do you think, what she will say, that I took it to mean talaq. But what did you mean, the one who said the words, that is going to count. When the qazi will make his decision, the person who said the words, what he meant, what he says, what I meant by it, that is going to come. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. So there are certain words which are Arabic words and which appear to be so simple, but even the Arabs couldn't. And who? A person like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. What a great alim he was, what a great jurist, but he also said, I don't know. Jaisa ke Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, jaisa dhi ilm aur mufti wa faqih sahabi bhi hal na kar sake. He was such a great mufti, such a great faqih, such a great sahabi, and with so much knowledge, but he also did not. So there are certain words that where our knowledge also ends. And we have to seek from somebody else the explanation. Aur bargah risalat se uski tafsir hasil hui. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then explained what is the true meaning of those words. So for us, everything of deen, in fact, it comes very clearly in the Quran, if you give your own opinion, and it's right, your opinion, but that also you'll get punished for it. We are not allowed to give our own opinion, because easily you can mix it up and you'll come out with a wrong meaning. So therefore, we must be very careful in tafsir of the Quran. Never ever give your own opinion. Hadith also, don't give our opinion. Those, the ulama who study it and who know what they say is the meaning of this word, this hadith, that is the correct. We should not give our own opinion. And there is a very dangerous trend that we are following today, where every person just looks at the hadith, and then he makes his own understanding of it, and then he makes his own meaning. There is a very dangerous thing. In this kitab, Ruh ki bimariya aur inka ilaj, the the diagnosis of the diseases of the body, the soul, and the treatment also, prescriptions for it as well. Further, we read here, it was the 11th Malfuz that we were reading, and these are all those sayings of Hadrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. One of them is enough if we ponder to give up sin. Many people want prescription, how to give up sin. Just see our buzurgs, how much they have thought about us. And for every person, his temperament, his nature is different. They have given us so many types of prescriptions, which if we were to practice upon, then to give up sin will not only be practical, not only easy, but enjoyable to give up sin. At the moment, for us, we think to give up sin is impossible. Especially we say in this world of today, and living in this country and these times, temptations are too much, you can't give up sin. That's not the truth. Use the prescriptions that are given, and definitely you will get your treatment. And alhamdulillah, we see that in this field, that our elders have shown us, what we call the Khanqah Tasawuf, mashallah, how many young people, young women, young men, the ilaj is being made, the treatment is being made. And in this world of temptation, and so many are in such a position where there is so much temptation, but they are saving themselves from sin. And people are becoming conscious. Otherwise, we were just that sin is a natural thing. Everyone is sinning. So what is it? We also sin. And we didn't realize the consequences. But alhamdulillah, by this effort, how many people, and this is gives us that more to carry on with this work when we see the results are coming also. And in what kinds of people, what results. So if a person applies himself reasonably, Allah's promise is there. And Allah won't back down on his promise. Your ilaj will be made. You'll be able to save yourself from sin. So further, was with regard to illicit love affairs with women also. That also, and more worse than that, with young boys. And today homosexuality has become a norm in the world, in the filthy, dirty world of the West. So much so that their governments are legalizing same-sex marriage, that Mr. John marries Mrs. Jack, Mr. Jack, Mr. John marries Mr. Jack, and so same-sex marriages, this is now legalized. What is that? This homosexuality, which is one of the worst. Hadrat explained that if you have an illicit affair with a woman, it is possible that it becomes legal. You marry her, and then it becomes legal. But with the same sex, there is no question. And the harms which are of it, of sicknesses, it is ajeeb how shaitan blinds us. What this homosexuality, HIV, AIDS, which is so common, it is all from here, mostly from here. And yet people are becoming blind. They are spending billions of rands and dollars for the treatment of HIV. And on the other side, they are promoting it. This is how stupid man has become. Or he pretends to be stupid like that. They know what is happening, but they want to have all these evils in the society. Haseen amrat ka hukam mithal aurat ka hai. A beautiful young lad, his order in Shariat is like that of a woman. What is that? Woh larka jiske daari moonch na ho. A boy who has just reached puberty and his beard, mustache has not yet come out. Round about the age 15, 16. That is the height of his beauty, of his whole life. That handsomeness that he has at that time, you won't get it again. He is at the height of his beauty. Agarche baligh ho gaya ho, even if he has become baligh already. Usually the younger boys are even more handsome. Or khubsurat ho, and he's handsome also. Some boys, mashallah, how Allah has made them so beautiful, so handsome, they surpass so many girls in beauty also. Usually girls are more beautiful, but some boys, Allah has given them such handsomeness, they are more handsome, they are more pretty and beauty than girls also. Those ka hukam mithal aurat ke hai. Then he is the order with regard to relationship with him is like that of a hukam, of a woman. Yani sir se pair tak uska dekhna haram hoga. That is from head to toe, to look at that boy, it will be haram. Lekin shart ye hai, but there is a condition with this, ke ye shahwat se dekhna ho. If a person is looking with lust at that point, if a person doesn't look with lust, then it's not, then parda is not farz. But if you find, and our students come and they tell us, we have a desire for certain boys. They save themselves, they're coming for treatment. But this is a thing which is prayed, don't, we must not act like ostrich and hide the things and think, no, these things don't exist. Desire of a boy, for a boy, is a fact, it's a there. And then if, when that is the case, and you have that, then you have to have the order, just like parda from a woman. From head to toe, how you are not allowed to look at the body of that woman, not her hands, not her face, nothing. Like that you must not look. This is when you have desire. If you don't have that desire, then there isn't the order of this parda. But if you, and there are people today, see what cases are coming. How child abuse, and what do you call that? With little children, all this molesting of children, all these things, which is common in all societies in the world. So Shariat has given this command that where you have fear, apprehend that, then there is complete parda from that person. Never be alone with that boy. Never look at him. Keep your eyes safe from him, from that. اور علامہ شامی رحمت اللہ علیہ فرماتے ہیں لیکن اگر داری ٹھوری ٹھوری ہو اور کسی کو اس کے دیکھنے میں شہوت اور میلان نفس محسوس ہو ایون اف دا بیئر از کم آؤٹ اے لٹل بٹ یوزلی ناؤ دین یور ڈیزائر اسٹارٹس بیکمنگ لیس بٹ سم ٹائمس اٹس دا اپوزٹ لائک سم آف آور فرینڈس سے آلسو دیٹ وی ہیو اے گریٹر انکلینیشن فار پردا وومن فار ادر وومن ہو آر ناٹ کورڈ that we don't have the desire to look at them. But women who are in parda, more greater desire. So like that, even here, that a person, for young boys whose beard hasn't come out, for there normally more desire is for those boys. But some men are such, that when little beard, little beard has come, they have more desire for such boys. To uska dekhna bhi haram hoga. Then though that boy has already become baligh, amrad is that, where he's still not baligh. That is the order for an amrad, a person who has not yet become baligh. When you become baligh, then the order changes. But for some people, when you become baligh, little hair also comes out and they have greater desire. Then that will be still in the same order. In other words, you look at the root cause here. بلکہ بعض فاسقوں کو ایسے لوگوں کی طرف میلان زیادہ ہوتا ہے. But some evil people, وفی قلوبهم مرض, who have got this terrible sickness in their heart, they have a greater desire for such boys. اور علامہ شامی رحمت اللہ علیہ فرماتے ہیں کہ عورتوں کی طرف بدنظری شدید گناہ ہے. To look at other women is a terrible guna. To look at a woman that you are not allowed to look. لیکن امردوں کی طرف نظر شہوت اشد گناہ ہے. But to look at young boys and with the desire of evil and lust, that is even worse than looking at women. لیکن اگر شہوت اور میلان نفس نہ ہو تو خلوت اور نظر میں کوئی مذاقہ نہیں. If sincerely you don't have any desire, any evil bad thoughts or desires for that, then even if you are alone with that boy, but Hadrat stops it also completely. And this especially in madrasas. And here, look at what is happening in the Christian, the church. Everywhere, what cases are coming out? That how much of abuse of the young boys that take place in the church, especially in the monasteries, it is worse. Not only with the monks and the nuns, but with the young boys and old priests who are fathers and what other titles they have. But what cases, almost every day it's in the newspaper. And throughout the world, it's coming. And where Christianity is more stronger, there are all these cases. So there is a reality. Therefore, Hazrat was, and Allah rewards Hazrat, and for Darul Ulooms, Hazrat was very particular, that he used to go and watch things in detail. And he should be very particular, then his instructions, that no ustad must get the young boys to press their body in solitude, one side separately, because shaitan is the third there. He can get you involved in what gunas, and your whole life will be destroyed. Dead boys, how many young boys who are abused, then their whole future gets destroyed. So precaution in this is very, very important. May Allah Ta'ala save us from all these gunas, and therefore is the rule of parda. From women that we understand more easier, but even from Boys also, we should be very, very particular. And any person, never have trust on yourself. They don't think that, well, some people think I'm a married man, I got my wife, etc., I won't do anything wrong. How many cases, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, there are some people who have got this evil, they make tashkil of young boys and take them in jamaat. And good outward, mashallah, on the youth is making effort. What great effort is making on the youth, but other effort is taking place. And what evils have happened there, Hadrat has warned against us very severely. And he wrote to the Marakis also, that any jamaat be very particular. Many such people we know, that one man wants to take a group of youngsters in jamaat. In any field, just going out for the camps, etc. You don't know where shaitan gets hold of a person. That the young school boys, young madrasa boys, the ustad is taking them for a weekend, for a outing, a camp or something. Allah, what things are happening, happened and are happening. This a person must be very careful about this. And what a perfect sharia. We shouldn't try and act that we are too pious. Where these things will happen to us? Where a person must be on his guard. And Allah gave us such our buzurgs and such sharia to safeguard us. And if a person is protected, a person who is not abused in his youth, and you yourself, you feel clean if you didn't abuse anyone. But when you are, and you took undue advantage of people who are under you, that is the height of evil that you could do. And these things happen, are happening in the whole world and all the time. We shouldn't act as if they are not happening. Don't talk about these things. Don't discuss these things. Hazrat says, one place he went. And the principal said, no, don't discuss these things here, because these things don't happen here in our Darlo. Afterwards, Hazrat said, we found out he himself was involved in all this. So people don't want these things to be spoken about. May Allah save us all, inshallah.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني يذكركم دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعرائي مستانا خشمي آئے دم تابت جانا چنیمی بائے دم الله جل جلاله تعالى شانه الله 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 سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب الله 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 جل جلاله تعالى شانه الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذم وخطيئة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولشيخنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أحسن إلينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يسدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين